Welcome to Hope Online, a ministry of Living Hope Church in Coral Springs, Florida. Please get your Bibles out as we join the service in progress and Pastor Larry Brister.
Turn in God's Word to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we'll be reading in God's Word verses 8 through 11. Today we finish the Christmas names of Jesus with Christ the Lord. I believe if there was only one word, one thing I could say for the rest of my life, if somebody said, Pastor Larry, this is the last thing that you can say before you leave this earth, think well, what would you say? I would say that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Jesus Christ is L-O-R-D, Lord. Reading from the Word of God, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Now there were in the same country, I'm going to make a little aside there quickly. The same country means Bethlehem, obviously, but is also called in the Bible, Migdal Eder, which is where Jacob buried Rachel and raised a pillar to her. For you ladies that have done the Bethmore study, you know that. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Christ the Lord. You see, God chose the least of all cities, Bethlehem, to host the birth of His Son. He chose some of the lowest people in all of society, shepherds, as the first witnesses. You see, shepherds were looked at in those days as unclean because they had financial dealings with Gentiles. If you're wondering what that means, it means they had financial dealings with people like us. So they were unclean. In a trial, they couldn't worship in the temple. And as we look here in this passage, it says that the glory of the Lord shone. And as we look at that, It's important to remember that the Shekinah glory of God had not been seen for centuries and centuries. Neither had there been any word from God, from Malachi to Matthew. Nothing from God, no spoken word for 400 years following the end of the Old Testament. Interesting, that's the same amount of time that the Israelites were in bondage and heard nothing from the Lord. The Jews had been waiting and waiting and waiting for a Messiah. But now, the glory shines. The angel brings words straight from heaven that the wait is over. In today's verse, we see a couple of things I'm going to talk about before we get into our points that you have on the back of your bulletin. First of all, we see that God has made a provision for us. It says, "Unto you this day is born a Savior in the city of David." God knew what we needed. We need a Savior. If we just needed help with some math, He would have sent us an accountant. If we had a problem with learning, He would have sent us just a teacher. But we have sin natures in our life. And because of the sin in our life, we needed a Savior. Because God wants a relationship with us. And because God sent us what we needed, we should be so grateful that we take hold of a Christmas profession. What should we profess as Christians? It is that Christ is Lord. This is church, and most of you folks here today are church people. And so I believe that if I asked right now, if I were to pry a little bit, not that I would ever do something like that, if I pried a little bit and I said, "Is Jesus Christ the Lord of your life?" Most of you would say, "Yes, I believe in His Lordship." If that's so, let me pry a little further since my lips are already moving. Can I ask this? Have you crowned Him Lord? Truly Lord of your life? Is He the Lord of your tongue? The things that you say, the words that you speak, do they glorify Him as Lord? Is He the Lord of your thoughts? When you sit quiet and you think on things, are they the good things, the pure things, the true things? Do you glorify the Lord with your thoughts? Do you glorify the Lord with your time? Or is church something that we wedge out an hour and a half per week? Do you take some of your time? Do you set aside a quiet time with the Lord each and every day? And by a quiet time with the Lord, am I talking about prayer with God? Yes, I'm talking about that. But a quiet time also means we listen to what God is saying to us in our lives. Is He the Lord of your temper? Of your emotions? Is He the Lord of your treasure? I'm not saying that we've all mastered these things. I certainly haven't. I had somebody come to me one day recently and say, Pastor Larry, and some of you that have known me the longest are going to get a good chuckle out of this. I can't wait till I get to that point when I don't struggle with the things of the world like you. Meaning that he thought I didn't struggle. I went, well, I don't know where you would get that. She said, well, some days you struggle. I said, some minutes I struggle. But Christ is the Lord of my life. If He's your Savior, He should be your Lord as well. It's one thing to sing, bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. It's quite another to live it. To live it out in your life. Now let's assume that this morning each one of you are saying, yes, Pastor, I believe that He is Lord. Yes, Pastor, I have crowned Him the Lord of my life. In my tongue, my thoughts, my time, my temper, my treasure, my deeds. Well then, the big question, again, since my lips are already moving, are you gladly, freely, openly confessing Him to others as the Lord? We have made it a mandate in this church that the children, we're going to love people's children, and we're going to teach those children to be bold about the things of God. And that's why I can take a little girl this morning, and in front of this whole congregation, ask her to pray for the service, and she never hesitated. Why? Because we teach them the things of God. Look again at verse 10. Talking about confessing the Lord. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to some of the people? All people. All over Coral Springs. Let me back off just a second. God wants this known throughout the world. All people. Jesus said, go therefore and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit to all nations. Verse 11. We read, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. You know, all over Coral Springs right now, I would venture to guess that there are many, many, many nativity scenes, like we have right here. You know, there's nothing wrong with a nativity scene, church, amen? It's when we start making that an object of worship. This is a reminder of what went on that night. Okay? There's nothing wrong with that. But there's nativity scenes all over Coral Springs, but I would venture to guess in a few days, on New Year's Eve, most of those homes will be improperly partying without the slightest thought to Christ of Christmas. Now, if you had a chance to come to Pastor's Open House last night, amen? If you had a chance to come to that, you saw we had a great time. By the way, you people are crazy. All right, we had an awesome time. We ate, and Miss Ruth Ann, kudos to my wife, Miss Ruth Ann, man, she put on a show. She absolutely put on the show. And there were times during the day when I was acting like I was busy, and then she would fellowship with me about that for a moment. And I would jump in and help her out. But listen, if Christ is the Lord of your life, if He is holy in your heart, then He should be reverent in your heart. The name of Jesus should be a holy thing in your life. Did you know we read our Bibles and we say out loud, Yahweh or Jehovah. We say it out loud. But did you know in the early church, all of those people were Jewish? And if one of them were reading Scripture, when he came to that word, the word Lord, he wouldn't even pronounce it. He wouldn't even say it audibly. He would just close his eyes and bow his head and worship God. Why? Because God is holy. His name is holy. And He came to this earth in the form of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is holy. What did that mean for a Gentile to call Jesus God in those days, though? You have to remember that in those days, not only was Caesar the emperor, it was mandated that he be proclaimed as their God. It was demanded that everyone that confessed that Christ, Caesar is Lord. And the Christians refused to say that, Jew and Gentile alike. No, Caesar is not Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. And it cost them their lives. I wonder, is he your Lord in that way? Is he your Lord in that way? Are you willing to die before you renounce your Lord? Are you willing to experience some discomfort or disruption of your schedule for Jesus Christ? Even if it's in your, even if it costs you, no matter what, even if it's your job or your life, that you will confess Jesus and Jesus alone as the Lord of your life. This Christmas, can you say from the depth of your heart, yes, Jesus Christ is my Lord? You see, the love that Christ had for each one of us is so amazing, it's so divine, it's so pure, that it demands my life, my soul. It demands all that I am to proclaim Christ as Lord. His love is so complete that you never needed to add anything to the love that God has for you. God doesn't love this old sinner of a preacher up here one iota more than he loves the worst sinner on Skid Row. He loves us all with a total, complete love. Isn't that not amazing? I venture to say that most of us parents, we would die for our kids. We would get between our kids and a speeding car or a bullet without a moment's hesitation. But would we die for the worst person out there? God did. He's the Alpha and the Omega. That means that Jesus himself is the beginning of the end. It is never Christ and something. Okay? It's always Christ or something else in your life. There should be no Christ or in your life. Christ or Caesar. Christ or myself. Christ or the things of the world. In other words, choose this day whom you will serve, the world or the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, he must be first. He must be foremost in your life. Christ doesn't just want to be prominent in your life. He doesn't want to be in the top three. He deserves, he demands preeminence in your life because he's the Lord. And when you profess Christ, and I mean truly, openly, publicly, gladly, boldly confess Christ as your Savior, then things will radically, dramatically change in your life. And you'll start to make a difference in the world. He doesn't want a part-time Christian. So if you believe that he is the Lord, if you have crowned him as the Lord, and now that you confess him as your Lord, if you do that, I have five quick points I want you to fill in on your bulletins today. First, confessing Christ as Lord seals salvation. It seals your salvation. This will seem a little harsh what I'm about to say, but if you're not willing to publicly, openly, gladly profess Christ as Lord, don't try to convince me or anyone else in the world that you're saved. Because to their appearance, you're not. If there's no difference between you and the Lord, you and the world, what's the difference is what they say. If there's no difference between what you're doing on a Sunday morning and what the rest of the world is doing, what's the difference that Christ makes in our lives? If there's no difference on how you spend your quiet time or where you go or what you think or what you do, to the world they think, what's the difference? What is the big deal? You know, the Bible may fool you. You may fool yourself, but the Bible says clearly and plainly in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, very clear right here, that if you confess, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We've all heard that. We're Christians. That's part of our life. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If he's not your Lord, if you're not willing to confess him, he's not your Savior. You know, we are saved by grace through faith. Have you ever had grace extended to you in your life? Of course you have if you're a Christian. But have you ever had another human being that gave you something you absolutely didn't deserve? That was good. That's grace in your life. Have faith in Christ and just believe, friends. When Jesus Christ was on that cross, there was a thief hanging next to him. And the thief said, right there in front of everybody, hanging on this cross, they could have made his end much worse than it was already going to be. Remember me, Lord. He's supposed to be professing Caesar as Lord. Remember me, Lord. But he confesses Christ right there. And Jesus turned to him and said, this day you will be with me in paradise. And so for all of those that are out there with the legalistic approach to salvation, I say to you, what chance did this thief on the cross have to do anything for God? In minutes he would be dead. Did he have a chance to get baptized by immersion? That's a good thing. We should do that. Once we're saved, we should say, you know what? I want to show the world that I'm saved. I want to show the world that I belong to Christ. I'm baptized by immersion. Down with the old, up with the new. The dead is gone, the live is back. All right? He didn't have a chance to get baptized. Did he have a chance to learn a bunch of stuff in church? Did he have a chance to go to church week after week? Did he have a chance to tithe? No, he had a chance to do nothing. What did Jesus say? This day, you will be with me in paradise. It is salvation by grace through faith immediately, eternally. And it doesn't matter what somebody says from the pulpit. It matters what God's Word says. That you are saved by grace through faith, if you only believe. You know, I mentioned that Prince of Preachers last week, Charles Haddon Spurgeon from England. Listen to what he wrote about professing Christ. He says, if the convert, that's us, we're going to talk in the formal Queen's English here for just a moment, that's how he wrote. If the convert declares that he knows the Lord's will, but doesn't mean to attend to it, in other words, doesn't mean to do it, then it's your duty to tell him that he's damaging the salvation message. Did you hear that? You see, Jesus gave us our marching orders. We're to share the gospel to the ends of the earth, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And while only God knows the heart, that's not my job. God knows the heart. I agree with Spurgeon that for a Christian to never share the gospel, there's something going on there. Find a way to share the gospel. That old preacher couldn't have said it any better. You know, too many people have a come-on Savior, but a stay-out Lord save salvation. They want the benefits. They don't want to do anything. So, the Bible says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. First, confessing Christ as Lord seals salvation. Second, it silences Satan. It silences the enemy. His greatest fear, the evil one, is that you'll learn to confess and to believe and to live like Christ is the Lord of your life. Pay close attention to this verse in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. We just finished up our Revelation study, by the way, and it says, and they overcame him, talking about the bad guy here, Satan, excuse me, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. What a passage. How did they defeat Satan? What was the reason that they overcame? By the blood of the Lamb, Jesus did it, and by the fact that they were willing to confess Christ as Lord, and if it cost them their lives. When somebody says to you, Happy Holidays, you say right back, Merry Christmas. And be loving when you say it. There's a reason why they have the Happy Xmas signs around that you'll see. They are trying to X Christ out of Christmas. And Christ will not do that. Christ is second fiddle to nobody. Listen, Satan is terrified by your testimony. The evil ones are terrified. Demons are terrified. If you think that you're under attack, you think things are going on bad in your life, you just profess the name of Jesus Christ and every demon in Broward County has to leave the area. I know in my own life, I've had personal battles that you cannot possibly imagine. I didn't grow up in a Christian environment all the time. Okay? I didn't grow up like that. And because of my own failings, there were things that came about in my life that I struggled with. I tried positive thinking. That didn't do it. I tried denial. That didn't do it. I tried everything worldly to beat the demons in my life. And I could not do it. But you know what touched my heart? It was a godly praise team in this very church many years ago on the platform singing praises. And one day they sang "How Great Thou Art." And if you go back to those days back on the Coral Ridge Drive church, there was a little cubbyhole back in there, and I used to hide out back in that other cubbyhole where all the other lunkers were hiding out. All right, we hid out back there. And when they sang that song, something touched my heart. I got down on my knees right there around all these people. The place was packed. And I called upon the Jesus and I said, "Lord, I don't have any willpower. I can't beat this. In fact, I don't want to beat this. I want to do what I want to do. But I'm willing for you to change me. Create in me a clean heart, Lord, and renew thy spirit within me." You know, I'd been saved as a child, Lord. I've been saved, but I haven't been living like it. And I confess that you, Jesus, from this day forward, are the Lord of my life. And in that instant, I felt the power of God surging through my heart and soul. I felt free. In that instant, I felt Satan melt away. And he slithered away like the coward he is. Simply at the profession of the Lordship of Jesus Christ as the Lord of my life. You can have that same thing happen. Are you struggling with things? Don't try to beat it yourself. It's impossible. You can't beat that. And I don't know what issues you may have. I don't know your struggles, your weaknesses. But I know this, on the authority and the testimony of the Word of God, if you confess Jesus Christ as the Lord, Satan's got to go. He cannot stay there. You simply say, "Lord Jesus Christ, I belong to you." You tell others, "Jesus Christ is Lord. I belong to Him." You keep today's verse in your heart. Repeat it every day. Personalize it. "For unto me is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ my Lord." So first, when you confess Christ, it seals salvation. Second, when you confess Christ, it silences Satan. Third, when you confess Christ, it strengthens saints. You want to be a strong Christian? Begin to confess openly with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. You'll be amazed at the strength and the power that comes about in your life. Watch your faith grow when you confess Jesus Christ. People will look at you differently. You might lose what you think are your friends. I'm going to say that one more time. You might lose what you think are your friends. Guess what? They'll say, "You're different." Guess what? You are. You are a sanctified, holy child of God when you've confessed Jesus Christ as Lord. You're saved. Your dead spirit has been ripped out. A new spirit has been put in. You're sealed at that moment by the conversion by the Holy Spirit. Your soul is in the process of being sanctified because you're renewing your mind by staying in the Word of God. You come to church. You do the things that you're supposed to be doing. You're meeting with God daily in your prayer life. You think on the things that are good and true. One day, this old body will fade away and we'll get a glorified, sanctified body. Amen, church? I can't wait to see what that's... Well, I mean, I don't know how we're going to improve on this, but I can't wait for that day. Yeah, you guys pray for your pastor. We got a problem here. Friends, we're called to be in the world, but not of the world. Amen? As a matter of fact, it's very easy to tell you to find out if you're becoming of the world. It's when you stop publicly and openly confessing Jesus as Lord, confessing your faith, confessing your Savior. So, when you confess Christ as Lord, not only will it seal salvation, not only will it silence Satan, not only will it strengthen the saint, but it saves sinners. You know, we can't all be preachers, but we've all been called to become reachers. Amen? Wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody in this congregation went out into our community tomorrow and said, "Jesus Christ is Lord"? You're asking me how many times I'm going to say that today. I'm going to keep saying it. Amen? Some say, you know, say doing that in a community, isn't that the preacher's job? No. The preacher's job is to train up the saints in how to share the gospel message. You say, isn't that the evangelist's job? Yes, but every single one of us is called into evangelism. I wasn't given the gift of evangelism. No, but Jesus said, you're to go evangelize. Well, I've never led anybody to Christ. How many times have you tried it? Humorous story. I learned how to lead folks to salvation with the Romans way, you know? The Romans road, they call it. And there's five verses that you, when somebody, and you work your way through those five verses. And without going deeply into the story, I had a young lady in my office that came in and said, how can I know that I'm saved and going to heaven? And so I walked her down the Romans road. And she said, yes, on the second point. Well, I was all trained up. I had three more to go. Thank you, Lord, I didn't say, hang on a minute. I'm not done here yet. Listen, every one of us is called in evangelism. People say, well, I'm not good speaking like that. So was Moses. Well, Moses had Aaron. Who made the golden calf? Is what I say. God's called upon you to share your faith. Other people say, well, I just want them to see my life. And when I live the right way and they look at me, that'll cause them to want to be saved. Good Lord, what arrogance. People aren't saved by my life. People are saved by His death. I don't care how good somebody has been. The only way to get to heaven is by confessing Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And when you try to share the gospel by using yourself as an example, then you're trying to take the Lord's praise without giving Him any of the glory. When our praise team comes up here, I put Miss Jamie in charge of this. I say, bring them into the holy presence of an almighty God. I want your praise team to sing so well that nobody notices the praise team's been singing. I want them to say, I am in the presence of God's throne. I'm in the presence of the throne of God. And they don't even think about what the praise team is doing. They don't think about how wonderfully Mr. Bill and Miss Melanie play the keyboard. They don't think about the other people that play on the other instruments. They don't think about the singer. They don't think about Miss Jamie. They don't see anything but God. When I preach, I don't want you to be looking at me. I want you to have your Bibles in front of you. That's why I say it every week. Have your Bible in front of you. You don't need to hear from me. You need to hear from God's Word. Amen. Friends, we need to be bold. We need to be bold in how we pray. We need to be bold in how we sing. We need to be bold in how we read the Word of God. We need to do things boldly. You ever wonder where I got all that from? You know, that's not something that I came up with. I'm going to tell you the story behind that today. A while back in the 80s, in Romania, they were under a communist dictator. I think, and just like I couldn't pronounce Flower's name, I think his name was Ceausescu. I think that's the way you pronounce that. He was a terrible dictator, and he was overthrown, and communism thrown out. People think that that was a political movement, a movement of people wanting to be politically free, but that's not what happened. Let me share that story with you. It started with a humble little Baptist preacher with a congregation about this size. He became determined to share the gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ, no matter what. The government told him, the people told him, you can't say that. You cannot say that publicly. You cannot say that in a church. We don't even allow churches. You can't talk about Jesus here. You can't teach boys. You can't teach girls. You can't teach the young. You can't teach the old. You will not under threat of death. One day, the day that preacher got on his knees and he prayed and God spoke to his heart. Two words. All that he heard from the Lord that day were two words. Be bold. He said, I will, Lord. I'll share the gospel. I'll be obedient to the word. I will not be afraid. I will not be timid. I don't care what it costs me, even my life. And he talked together some other closet preachers. He said, this is it. The line is right here. They've gone too far. We're called to share the gospel. Sink or swim, we're going to be for God. And he began to preach it. And he began to teach it publicly, boldly, singing in the public square, street preaching. He did all that. The dictator sent the communist army to stop him. They came there to arrest him. And if they couldn't arrest him, they came to shoot him and kill him. But you know what happened? That preacher had already made up his mind, I don't care what happens, I'm not moving. I'm not moving on the Word of God. He wasn't running. He certainly wasn't afraid. He stood there ready to die for Christ. Unflinching, bold. The armed soldiers, they came near. They told him to stop. He kept preaching. They put on a megaphone, told him to stop. He kept preaching. They raised their weapons to shoot that pastor and the other pastor standing there with him. But God touched the hearts of his people. And the church members came and they stood between the soldiers and their pastor. He didn't expect that. And they said, to get him, you got to go through us. And then others came. First dozens that were just standing around. Then hundreds and then thousands. And the entire city began to shout, there is a God. There is a Lord Jesus. There is a God. There is a Savior. People now all over the country, the things that happened after that weren't Christ-like. But people bold began to publicly confess, Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And the communists fell. The dictator was overthrown. Why? They were bold. Was it because that guy was so powerful in front of these soldiers? No. It's because God is powerful. And you think that you're weak and you have no giftedness? God tells you to do something, you need to do it. God tells you to go somewhere, you need to go there. That's why my very first week in this church as your pastor, I said, if you feel that God is calling you here, amen. But if you feel that God is not calling you to serve here and that you're supposed to be somewhere else, you are being disobedient to Almighty God. You need to go where God has called you to serve. Finally, when you confess Christ as Lord, it simplifies service. Amen? That just really simplifies things. Every single Christian is called into a lifetime of service. Every one of us has a job. And we make it way more complicated than it needs to be. Way more complicated. Usually by waiting for the Lord to send the word of what we want to do as opposed to what He wants us to do. Amen, church? If you want to simplify your Christian life, just ask the two questions that Paul asked on the road to Damascus. Question number one, who are you, Lord? We know that conversation. This is Jesus. Why are you persecuting my people? Why do you persecute me, is actually what Jesus said. Who are you, Lord? That's the first question. Question number two, what would you have me do? What would you have me to do? In other words, it's not about me, Lord. It's all about you. Why? Because you are now my Lord. And what did Paul do? He wrote almost half the New Testament. He traveled far and wide. Church family, if we please God, it doesn't matter who we displease. It doesn't matter. If you please God in your life, it doesn't matter who's upset about it. Because you've been bold. And there's only one way to please God. Is to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But I really need to clean one thing up here quickly. You know, the question is not, will you acknowledge Christ as Lord? The real question is, when will you acknowledge Christ as Lord? I'm going to say that one more time. The question is not, will you acknowledge Him as Lord? The question is, when is that going to happen? Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Every Christian should have this memorized. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. May the Lord add His blessing upon His word. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. We confess Him now. If we were to be raptured off this earth right now, we would go into heaven. We would have the great time where we would lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. When Jesus comes back, at the end of the tribulation, we'll be involved in the marriage supper of the Lamb. We come back with Him. And then at the end, when the Bible talks, at the end is the judgment. That's not for us. That's for all that don't believe. The great white throne judgment is nothing for the Christian to fear. The only thing we should fear about that now is that we haven't done what God has called us to do, to share our faith. There's an entire community that's lost out there. We have family members that are lost out there. I asked last week, are you guys dedicated, or 2 weeks ago, matter of fact, I ask it every week, are you dedicated to the things of God? And you raised your hands and said yes. So get ready for this coming year. Christ is going to be proclaimed. This community is going to know that we're here. We've had 6 months, 5 months to get our stuff together. Thank you for bearing with us. Amen. Amen, Miss Jamie?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Where was I? I got all excited there. If you confess Him as Lord now, He'll confess that you're saved and as His child. And when we're raptured, He'll say, well done, my good and faithful servant. But if you deny Him, He will deny you. And if you don't meet Christ in salvation on earth, you will meet Him in judgment at the great white throne of judgment. So may I ask you three questions that we just talked about. First, do you believe He is Lord? Second, have you crowned Him the Lord of your life? And third, have you and are you confessing Him to the world as your Lord? As the praise team comes. Are you? Are you confessing Christ as Lord? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, I pray today that may every soul here in this building, that they will confess Jesus Christ as Lord. I thank you so much today, church, for your patience.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.